Okay, so on Sanhedrin Daf Zayin Omed Aleph. If you remember, we were discussing the topic of a bitzua, which means a compromise, various opinions on whether it is a mitzvah, whether it is an issa. But the maskon of the Gemara was that even if you hold it's a mitzvah to make a compromise doesn't mean only a compromise, but rather it means it's a mitzvah to offer a compromise, not to enforce it, but rather to offer it. So you say, would you like a compromise or would you like a psak din? The choice is yours. And then we discussed the whole concept of Aaron HaKohen, who to an extent also made a compromise for fear of being killed. So we're up to the very last narrow line in the Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. If you remember, we had on the previous Omud, we had an opinion that said that whilst it might be permitted or even a mitzvah to offer a compromise, but once the tainas have been heard, then it's too late then to call for a compromise. You can only call for a compromise at the beginning, when the tainas have not yet been heard. At that stage, you can say, would you like a compromise? But once they have already presented their claim to the Beis Din, at that stage, it's too late to offer a compromise. The Gemara learned that from a pasuk. It was a pasuk in Mishnah. Poiter mayim reishis modoin. So have a look now at the very last narrow line of the Gemara. Vahani Tanoi, these Tanoim, which Tanoim are being referred to? Says Rashi. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi's on the sixth or seventh narrow line. Vahani Tanoi de Les Lahu, who do not hold of the principle of Misha Tishma Divrehem, once you've heard the words, the claims, Iyata Rashoi Livtsoya. There was an opinion that says that once you've heard the claim, you cannot then offer a compromise. But there's some Tanoim who don't hold of that. And they hold until the Gemara Din, it's not too late. You can still offer a compromise until the Gemara Din. So the question is therefore, okay, that may well be. But how do they then deal with a pasuk of Poiter Mayim? Because that was the pasuk which we learned from this principle that once you've heard the tainas, you cannot call for a compromise. If you don't hold of that halacha, then clearly you learn the pasuk otherwise. So what would you learn from the pasuk? Says the Gemara, you learn something completely different. Vahani tanoi, poiter mayim reishis modoin, quote unquote, my darshi bay. What do they make a drosha? What drosha do they use this pasuk for? Says the Gemara, Kedar Rav Amnuna. They learn the principle of Rav Amnuna. What did Rav Amnuna say? Something completely different, totally unrelated to our sugya, and the only reason we're quoting it is because it's learned from this pasuk. D'omar Rav Huna, Ein Tchilas Dinoi Shel Odom Nidoin Elo Al Divrei Torah. Frightening thing, we all know. That the tchilas dinoi shel adam, when a person has to be judged, lachameh ve'esrim, the first thing that will be called to judgment for is al divrei Torah. Shenema, where is that learned from? Our pasuk, because it says poiter mayim reishis modoin. Modoin is like from the word din, so reishis modoin, the beginning, the reishis of the modoin of the din will be what with regard to mayim. And as we know, that Mayim is always a reference to Torah. So, Poiter Mayim Reishis Modoi means that the beginning of the Modoi, the beginning of the judgment, will concern Mayim, says Rashi. Hi, Poiter Mayim, quote unquote, my Dorshi Bey. What do they use? What's the drasha that they learn from this pasuk? Says Rashi, Tchilas Dinoi, which means La'osid Lovoi, in the future, after Me'ev Esrim, Al Divrei Torah, Shaloi Osak B'Torah. Wasn't Osak in Torah? Why is that learned from the pasuk of Poiter Mayim? Says Rashi, Shepoiter HaTorah Me'olav. He exempted, he freed himself from Torah. By not being involved in Torah, he was Poiter Mayim. He exempted himself, he excused himself from Torah. Who Reishis Modoinoi? That will be the first thing that he's called to judgment over. Torah Nimshala Lamayim. Because as we know, Torah is compared to Mayim. Dixiv Hoy Kol Tzoma Luchu Mayim. Therefore, when the Torah, when the Novi talks about being judged on Mayim, so clearly that means being judged on issues of Torah. Now, have a look at Tosfos. This is the second Tosfos on the Omid. Because we have another sugya, the Gemara in Shabbos, which talks about all the questions that one will be asked and the order in which they will be asked, la'osid lovi. And it would seem to be there that Torah is actually not the first question. How can our Gemara say that tchilas dinoi, the reishis modin, the very first thing that a person will have to be judged for is Torah, where the Gemara in Shabbos seems to suggest otherwise? What does the Gemara say there? So have a look at Tosfos. Elo al divrei Torah. Says Tosfos, v'ha da'omrinon b'perek b'mei madlikin. That which it says in perek b'mei madlikin, which is in Shabbos. She shoyalin loy, that they ask him. Now what are they asking? What's the first question? Nosato v'nosato b'emuna. Was all your maso matmo, all your dealings done with emuna and honesty and faith? Va'acharkach, and after that, they move on to the second question, which is kovato itim latero. So 1 second, we seem to have a contradiction. The Gemara clearly says there that kovato itim latero is not the first question; it's the second question. The first question is were all your business dealings conducted by emuna? So how does that fit in with our Gemara that says that the Reishis Modoin, that the first thing the person will be judged for is Torah? Whereas it seems to be quite clear over there that the first thing that you're judged for is something else completely, is whether you did your business dealings with Emunah. Stira. Says Torah's verse, no. Hosam ba'odom she'oisek b'Torah Mayri. There, we're talking about somebody who is Isaac B'Torah. Elo, however, Shaloi Kova Itim. If you look at the Lashon of the Gemara there, it doesn't say, did you learn Torah? We're talking about somebody who is Isaac B'Torah, but he's not Kiveya Itim. He doesn't have fixed times for it. So therefore, that's why he'll be taken to task for not being kuvea itim la Torah, not for not learning Torah. If it would have been an issue of not learning Torah, then indeed that would have been the first question. But because we're talking about somebody who is learning Torah, the only thing he's not doing is not being kuvea itim. So that's why it's relegated to question number two. However, says Tosfos, v'hocha mayri kishaloi osak klal. Whereas in our Gemara, we're talking about somebody who's not Isaac at all. Therefore, there's no stira in the Gemara. Will the first judgment be on Torah or will it be the second judgment? The answer is it depends. If we're talking about somebody who's not learning at all, that'll be the first thing he has to give din v'cheshbon for. If it's somebody who does learn, however, he's just not Isaac b'Torah, and that means he's not kiveya itim la Torah, then indeed it won't be the first question, it'll be the second. So there's no contradiction. That is Tosfos's first suggestion. Says Tosfos, Inami, alternatively, I can suggest something else. Remember, in our Gemara, what was our subject? What is the Tchilas Dinoi? What's the first din, the first thing he'll be judged for? So says Tosfos, we can suggest that there's no contradiction. Why? Inami, alternatively, says Tosfos, Shoyalim Loi. If you're talking about what is the first thing that he's asked, the first question that will be asked, Shoyalim Loi Tchila Al Masur Matan Be'emuna. But just because that's your first question, it doesn't mean that's your first judgment. Umikol mokoim yekabel dinoi, underline the word dinoi, tchila al divrei Torah. So according to Tosfos, according to this second answer, there are two different sugyas. There's a sugya in Shabbos, and there's a sugya over here in Sanhedrin, and they're talking about two different things. One sugya is talking about the order of the questions that you'll be asked. That's the Gemara in Shabbos. And our sugya is talking about not the order of the questions, but rather the order of the din. The order of the din, their Torah is first. V'ochi dorish le'likro t'chilas gilui dinoi b'mesh anasu midivrei Torah. The first din will be with regard to divrei Torah. So we have two different tirutzim in Tosfos. According to the first Teretz of Tosfos, we're talking about two different people. One person who was Loimed Torah, he was Oisik B'Torah, he just wasn't Kiveya Itim. As opposed to somebody who didn't learn at all, that's our Gemara. Whereas according to the second Teretz of Tosfos, no. The difference is, are we discussing the order of the questions or the order of the din? The order of the question is first Masu Matan Be'emuna and then Kovatu Itim L'Torah. Whereas our sugya is not talking about the list of questions. Our Gemara is talking about the order of din. What will he be judged upon for? And that is Torah. It still is a little bit difficult to understand. Because if indeed the first thing that he's going to be judged upon is Torah, then indeed, why is that not also the first question? Why indeed does the list of questions, the order of the questions, not parallel the order of the din? So it's all very fine and well to say that there's two different subjects. One is the order of the questions and one is the order of the din, which definitely answers the contradiction, but it would still need an explanation. Hagufa, why is the order of the questions different to the order of the din? Okay. Back into the Gemara. Like I said, this is not really our subject, and the only reason why we're mentioning it is because we're just bringing up alternative translations of this pasuk, Poiter Mayim Reishis Modin. Now, I'm very curious as to how the art scroll translated the next line of Gemara. Omar, we're on the second wide line now. Omar Rav Huna. Hai Tigra Demaya Letzinura. Debidka Demaya Kiven Derobach Robach. How do they translate that exactly, Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehudovich?
Comparable, this gourd is comparable to a channel formed by a gush of water, they add, from an overflowing river.
Right, so hi Tigra. The word Tigra means a machloikas.
Right.
We find this word, the Gemara says that there's no ksuba without a Tigra. Every chasana has a bit of discord. So, hi Tigra Damya, this discord, which discord is being referred to?
It's comparable to a channel.
Which discord? Which machlokas is being referred to?
It just says discord, any discord.
Okay.
Any disagreement.
Right. Is comparable to what?
To a channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's an error. By a gush of water, formed by a gush of water from an overflowing river, they're at it. Given once the channel widens, it will continue to widen.
Okay, so what's the nimshal?
In other words, the more the machlokas is, it compounds. Machlokas keeps getting worse and worse.
Yes, worse and worse.
Machlekes, Geirem, Machlekes, 100%. Just like when you have a channel of water that's going through a pipe, once the pipe releases the water, it just keeps on going and generates speed. Have a look at Rashi. Letzinura de bitka kesheha nahor godel. When the river
swamps
fills up, swamps, pa'omim shuyaitse lesodis. Occasionally it goes out into the fields, it irrigates, it overfloods into the neighboring fields, sha'al agapav, which are on the sides of the river. Ke'en nigorim, the tzinoiris ketanim, like small channels and pipes. Ve'im einoi sois moi miyad, and if you don't stop it in the beginning, once the genie's out of the bottle, it's out. Hoylech umarchiv, it will just continuously get widened and widened and widened. Veshuv eino yochal sois moi, and then you won't be able to close it up. So you've got some sort of moat or some sort of channel where the water is gushing into your field. If you don't stop it early, it'll just get wider and wider and completely flood the field. What's that got to do with our sugya? Says Rashi, v'hainu dekomar kro. This is now another interpretation of the pasuk that we quoted. This is what the pasuk means. Poiter mayim reishis modoim kloimar. Reishis modoim umariva, the beginning of a mariva, mariva meaning a machloikus, doimer lepoiter mayim. Poiter means poiseach, like we use the word as in peterechem. It's like the opening of a water. That's what it means, that a modoim is like mayim. In what way is a modoim comparable to mayim? Just like mayim, if it's not stopped early, once it gushes, it's just unstoppable. So to a mariva, if it's not nipped in the bud, then it will go on. And I'm sure we all painfully are aware of machloksim that have gone on for ages. And it becomes ironic and tragically funny, but painfully funny, that sometimes you have machlokas where nobody can actually remember how it all started. The only thing we know is that we're not allowed to speak to this family, we're not allowed to speak to the neighbors, we're not allowed to speak to this person, and it gets out of hand. Chazal pointed this out, of course, in Parshas Korach. It talks about the danger of making machloikas, and you see that Korach's entire family and all his shechemim, they all got consumed in it. So that's what the Gemara means, kiven de robach robach. Now there's another comparison, carry on in the Gemara. Abaya kashisha omar. Domi is comparable to something else. Leguda de gamla, kiven de komkom. How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef?
Compared to a plank in a bridge, in a new bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Kiven, once it becomes firm, once a plank becomes firm, it remains firm. I suppose initially it's loose, but if you...
Right, so have a look at Rashi. Right, so have a look at Rashi. This is not an interpretation of the Pasuk, but this is just continuing the theme of what happens when there's a machlokes. Because the Rashi says, the Guda the Gamla. Guda is a plank, Gamla is a bridge. Dapin shel gesher. Gesher is a bridge. You've got the various planks of wood. Betchilo, in the beginning, when you initially step foot on the bridge. Kesh doyrsin aleihem, when you step foot on the bridge. Mena'anois, it's still a little bit wobbly. V'soif mischazkois, they become stronger in time. V'nikvois b'mkoimon, and then they become rigid in their place. V'hochanami, so too kesha odom marbe biktoto. So too, when a person increases, a person becomes involved a lot in machlokes, he also becomes toughened up and becomes non-rigid. Mischazekes ubo, he just becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, not willing to bend, not willing to compromise. Says Rashi, v'loy mikro nafka, we're not learning this from a pasuk, it's just continuing, telling you this is the scary consequence of being involved in a machlokes. The more you're involved in machlokes, the more you feel the necessity to defend your own position, and therefore necessarily the less willing you are to budge. So you become very stubborn, very obstinate, very unwilling to accept anybody else's opinion. I once saw a book, or an article maybe, I don't remember, which was entitled Everybody is entitled to my opinion. That was the title. Everybody is entitled to my opinion. Okay, back into the Gemara. Shemaya v'shesi sheva zmireis u'simen. Says the Gemara, hahu dahava ka'omar v'ozil. So let's hear again. Rabbi Yosef, how are you translating this? There was this person who what?
Who walked along saying, Tuvia dishoma ba'adish. Fortunate is the one who hears. And he goes on to add here, his own denigration without replying.
Mm-hmm.
And becomes accustomed to this.
Right. Chalfuhu bishtameo means?
Through this silence, 100 misfortunes that would have befallen him pass him by.
In other words, the Gemara is teaching us a very, very special principle. Not always an easy principle to apply. And that is, what do you do when you've been upset or insulted? So there's two types of people. There are those who will feel the need to react and respond and seek revenge. And there are those who will just accept it and do nothing about it. Says the Gemara, if you're part of that second category, that can be tremendously rewarding. Let's look back in the Gemara. How do you translate these words? Hahu dava ka'omar va'ozil. Tuve, deshoma va'adish. Somebody who continuously hears a lot of bizyones, va'adish. Va'adish means he remains silent. He doesn't respond, and you know what happens to him? Cholfuha. We know the word lahachlif means to exchange. So what will be exchanged, what will be passed on, is bishto meo, 100 bad things. Meaning even if there were 100 gezeiros that were supposed to befall this person, but by virtue of the fact that he did not respond, even though he was highly embarrassed, that will be the greatest zechus for him. And all of these 100 gezeiros will be exchanged, will be removed. Have a look. Before we go on, just carry on one more line of the Gemara. Again, what's this got to do with our sugya? Because it's the same pasuk. Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda Kroksiv. So Shmuel says, yeah, we can learn this from a pasuk. Because what does it say in the pasuk again? Hoiter Mayim Reishis Modoin. Modoin is an amalgamation of Reish Meo Dini. Modoin is Meo Dini, 100 dinim. 100 dinim can be removed by not being involved in Machlokes and not responding to when he was insulted. Have a look at Rashi. Tuvye deshoma va'adish. Ashrav sheshoimea cherposei. Praiseworthy is the one who's able to listen to his bizyoines v'shoisik. And he remains silent umarabil b'kach. Not only does he remain silent once, this becomes a habit of his. He does not respond to bizyoines. What does the word va'adish mean? K'moy de dosh. Dosh. Cholfuhu bishtameya, holchu lohem bishtikosoi. Through remaining silent, you know what will disappear? Meo ro'ois, 100 evil gezerois, shahoyu bo'ois olov alidei hatagor. 100 gezerois that would have befallen him had he been involved with the machloikas. Very, very wisely, he managed to steer clear of the machloikas, and with it, stay clear of 100 bad gezeiros. Poiter mayim hamaschil. If somebody begins upoiseach bekatoto with an argument, utchilas meodini. You should know if you get involved in a machlokes, you're on the verge of 100 dinim. Modoin, so Rashi says, modoin is neitriko, which means it's a rosh hatevus of meodini. Alternatively, Lishna Achrina Modoin is Begematria Mea. The word Modoin is Mem Dalad Vav Nun. Mem is 40, Dalad is 444, plus Vav is 6 is 50, plus the Nun is another 50 is 100. So where do you see that Modoin is a reference to 100? Either it's the Rosh HaTevas Modoin is Mea Dini, or it's the Gematria. The Gematria of Modoin is 100. But either way, you get to the same conclusion. One will be very well advised to stay clear of Machlekas. One stays clear that way of a lot of evil, unfortunate gezeiros. Says the Gemara, "Ahu da'aber ka'omar va'ozil, atarti tlas ganvi loy miktal." Rabbi Yosef, you can help us out again.
But two or three thefts, a thief is not killed.
So this is another big Ashkafic principle. On occasion, we see somebody who seems deserving of punishment once, twice, thrice, and nothing happens to him. So we wonder to ourselves, what's going on? Why is he not being punished? Rosh HaVatovloi. How can it be somebody who's wicked, is clearly being over averas, and is not punished? Atarti tlas ganvi, twice or three times through stealing, loy miktal, it doesn't get killed. Says Rashi, as she explains what's going on, Acharei tlas ganvi loy miktil kloima. What this means to say is, im oiver odom aveiro, if a person committed an aveira pa'amayim v'sholosh, twice or three times, v'loy bo'o olov puronios, and punishment has not befallen him, al yitme, do not be amazed, do not be surprised, nothing to be surprised about. Why? The atrei tlas ganvi lo mikta, because it could well be for twice or for three times, he doesn't yet get his punishment. However, the soifoi, but at the end of the day, nobody escapes punishment. The soifoi lilkois ba'achreina. At the end of the day, he will obviously have to suffer, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly has cheshbonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know in the Yud Gimel Midas, is Erech HaPayim. What does it mean, Erech HaPayim? He's, as it were, long to anger. He gives a person an opportunity to be Chayza B'tshuva. There could be other reasons. So for even if he doesn't get punished immediately, that does not mean he's not deserving of punishment. Why is the punishment not arrived? Immediately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has cheshbonos, but if he continues sinning, then one can be rest assured that the punishment will be forthcoming. And now again, what's this got to do with our sugya? So he quotes a pasuk. Because in the last Gemara, it was Shmuel talking to Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, we have another principle again, Shmuel talking to Rabbi Yehuda. Although specifically, it's not related to the previous sugya, it's just the same Amora talking. Omalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, Krok Sid, this is a pasuk. Because it says, Koyomar Hashem is a pasuk in Omis, Al Shloisha Pishe Yisrael, on three sins of Klal Yisrael, Val Arba on four, Loi Ashivenu? Question mark. Should I not return? Meaning, should I not give him punishment? So you see, the Novi is saying what? That he deserves a punishment, but he doesn't say first time, third or fourth time. So you see, it's a Mepurusha Pasuk that teaches us the principle we just said, that a person can be over an Aveira, but not necessarily be punished immediately. Says the Gemara, another member of Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Ahu dehava ka'omar va'ozil. There was this, Amor used to say, Shav biri leshalmana, V'choda la'avid bish. Again, Reese, if you want to help us out.
Yes, even if seven pits are dug in the path of a man of peace, he will be saved from them all. But if just one pit is dug in the path of an evil person, he will fall into it.
Meaning, what type of pit is being referred to? Let's first translate the words. Shav, biri, seven pits, biri, like the word boir, l'shalmana. Shalmana means somebody who's shalem. He will not fall. The chada, but one pit is enough to finish off lavid bish to somebody who does evil. Again, Omale Shmuel of Yudah Kroksiv says the famous pasuk, ki shevat yipoil tzadik v'kom. Tzadik can fall seven times, and what happens eventually? He gets up again. So seven pits. He might well fall seven times, but he always picks himself up again. Look at Rashi. Shav biri l'shalmana sheva boirois karuyos. Seven pits can be dug. L'ragle ish shalim, to somebody who's perfect, umikulom yinatzel, and he'll be saved. But chad bir alavid bish lo isay risha. Somebody who's isay risha becomes wicked, and one boy will be enough to finish him off. Do you receive in Ramah Aleph? I'm sure you do, because I see it's very widespread now. These weekly booklets of the Torah of Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha.
Yeah,
it's this. It's actually on my desk. Can you see it, or is it coming up in mirror writing?
Yeah, that's fine.
You can see it, or is mirror writing?
You can see
that's
it.
Good. It's good.
We can read it. We read it.
It's not coming up as mirror writing?
No, it's coming up. We can read it. Tell us the Victor.
Okay, strange, because it's coming up for me in mirror writing. I'll copy him. They've recently made it a very big project to spread the word, spread the Torah of Avigdor Miller. So. I don't normally read it, but somebody just gave it to me, and he talks about this principle in Parshas Vayishlach, where the struggle between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach that goes on all night is described in great detail. And he explains with Avigdor Miller that this is precisely the principle we just learned. Sheva yipoel tzadik v'kom. We know that the Malach that he's struggling with is the Malach of Esau, which means the Yetzer Hara. And what's happening is, Yaakov Avinu is teaching us forever how you struggle with the Yetzer Hara. You might have to fight with him for a very long time, all night long. Not only that, he might even pull you down. He displaced Yaakov Avinu's Gid Anoshe. But ultimately, Yaakov Avinu overcame the Yetzer Hara. And that's why he was called Yisrael, Kisariso, you overcame. So this is life's struggle. Not only that, some explain, and this is a very, very profound nakuda, that the pasuk that we just learned, kisheva tzadik, tzadik yipoel v'kom. So the normal understanding is that tzadik falls seven times, but v'kom, he manages to get up once again, as opposed to the rasha, he has a fall and that's it, he never bothers getting up over again. But some have explained that you have to read the pasuk in the following way. It's not that, despite the seven falls, he still gets up. But rather, it is because of the seven falls. That's why the con. In other words, we learn from our mistakes. When a person falls and slips, ultimately that's what builds him. When I was in school, there was a very big poster on the wall in one of the classrooms that we learned in, and it said, those who don't make mistakes normally don't make anything. And that's what this pasuk is teaching us. It's not despite making a mistake one can grow. To the contrary, it's precisely because Sheva Tzadik Yipol, because he fell, that's why Kom. He learned from his mistakes, introspection, tshuva, and he grew as a result. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Be'ez Hashem will continue tomorrow. Meanwhile, everyone should have a wonderful day.
Thanks, guys.